Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Galp Energia's first quarter 2013 results conference call. I will now pass the floor to Mr. Diego Villas-Boas.
Hello, good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Galp Energia first quarter of 2013 results and the strategy execution update conference call. Joining me today, as usual, is our CEO, Manuel Ferreira de Oliveira, and our CFO, Felipe Silva. Manuel will first elaborate on the strategy execution update, and Felipe will follow up with an overview of our first quarter results. In the end, we'll be, as usual, available for a brief Q&A session. I remind you that we'll be making several forward-looking statements during the call, so I'd like to draw your attention to the disclaimer at the end of the published presentation. I will now pass the floor to Manuel. Thank you.
Thank you, Diego, and good morning to, and my thanks to all of you that were able to and cared to participate in this conference call, the first after our recent Capital Markets Day in London. In the CMD, we shared with you the substance of the major drivers of our mid and long-term strategy. I will take just 2 minutes to summarize again the main drivers of our strategy. We will allocate, going forward, capital primarily to the upstream business. We will continuously strengthen our project management competencies to contribute to the minimization of the execution risks associated with the large-scale development projects in which we are involved, namely in Brazil and Mozambique. In terms of reservoir management, drilling and production technologies and practices, we are fully committed to develop, recruit, and retain experienced, high-quality professionals focusing on third-generation recovery technologies, so much valued for the Brazilian pre-salt carbonaceous reservoirs. In terms of exploration, we will be developing prospects to generate drilling targets with the potential to increase our resource base by 100-200 million barrels per year, focusing in Latin America and Africa, and on the strengthening of our experienced G&G team. All of the above to achieve and at least sustain a production target of 300,000 barrels a day by 2020. Additionally, and after the successful completion of the startup of our upgrading refining project, we will manage for cash our legacy business, i.e., our R&M and our G&P divisions, focusing on their operating and commercial efficiency and on minimizing capital allocation. We will also consolidate and further develop our successful oil products, and LNG trading activities. And we will do so, all of that, with a solid, sustainable, and resilient balance sheet. In what follows, we will be presenting operational and financial results and describing the progress of our main activities in the course of the first quarter. I sincerely hope that you will read behind this information supporting evidence of our firm commitment to deliver the strategy we shared with you with the investor community on our recent CMD. But now let me go to the main activities developed in the first quarter of 2013. I will start by our exploration activities. We are currently drilling the first exploration wells in Namibia and in Potiguar, both of which offer material potential in underexplored areas. In Namibia, we started to drill the Windcat prospect at the end of March, which targets a carbonaceous reservoir. After Windcat is concluded, we will continue the drilling campaign at the Moosehead and the Murombo prospects, which, as we already stated, are geologically independent from the results of the first well. In Potiguar, we started to drill the Araruna prospect in mid-February. I remind you that this is a frontier area and as such, of high risk. However, if successful, it can prove the existence of a new high-potential play in the north of Brazil. This well will be followed by another 2 wells in the same basin, targeting another prospect. Still in the second quarter, we will start the drilling of Agulha-1, in the Rovuma Basin in Mozambique, formerly known as the Cape Bulge Prospect. We consider this well to be high risk, as we are looking for oil in the basin where we have found so far the well-known giant accumulations of gas. However, if we are successful, we will further increase the hydrocarbon potential of this well-known basin, and we have already identified some follow-up oil prospects to drill, dependent on the success or otherwise of the Agulha 1 well. I want to highlight that we have now concluded the appraisal campaign in the Mamba complex, and with an 80 TCFs of gas in place, we have no doubt whatsoever related with the development of these assets and the competitiveness of the associated LNG project. In the pre-salt Santos Basin, this quarter we will be drilling the Dracuhi prospect. It is a satellite structure which can bring upside to the block BMF 24, adding up to the significant discoveries already made in Jupiter. Moving on to the Lula project, we continued to take every action to ensure its development on time and on cost. We mentioned that we have a procurement strategy in place, and this is why we have succeeded so far in contracting most of the infrastructure and equipment required. We are focused on diversifying and mitigating the execution risk, working with both Brazilian and international suppliers. Just to give you an example on that, in March, the consortium contracted two additional FPSOs on the international market. We have now successfully contracted an outstanding number of 12 FPSOs which will be delivered by the end of 2017. 10 of which will be allocated to Lula and to Yara. I highlight that the first 6 FPSOs will be lean and will have a lower local content than the units being built in Brazil, which takes some pressure off the local suppliers and further reassures the delivery of this project on time. In the shorter term, we will have the second FPSO at Lula, Cidade de Paraty, up and running, and I'm glad to say that this unit is already in its final stages, in its final destination in the Lula Northeast location. We are currently taking care of the mooring process, which involves the interconnection of the FPSO to 24 mooring lines. Additionally, we have already conducted all the required standard safety tests in Brazilian waters with full success. I remind you that we anticipate for Cidade de Paraty an exit rate of 75,000 barrels of oil equivalent per day by the end of the year, and that the full ramp-up period is expected to take 18 months. This is similar to what we have seen in the first FPSO, Cidade Angra do Reis, although Cidade Paraty has a capacity 20% above the previous one. This is already a good sign, but still we expect to improve it further with a shorter ramp-up period expected for the following units. In fact, and I want to emphasize that again and again, we are fully focused on continuously improving the already very good economics of the Lula project. We will benefit from the economies of scale and the learning curve, which impacts also drilling and completion times. Additionally, as you know, we are working to increase the recovery of the resources in place. We already announced an upward revision of an estimated oil recovery factor from 23% to 28%, and this is based only on data that we have gathered throughout 2012 through the appraisal wells and the pilot project. We expect that this can increase further. Not only do we continue to drill several reservoir data acquisition wells across the field in order to amplify our knowledge of the reservoir, but also we will start testing enhanced oil recovery techniques. We will start to test the water alternating gas, including CO2 as an alternative to natural gas, injection already in May, a technique that we call the third generation EOR technology, which has already offered excellent results in the lab. On that note, we will have some maintenance in the equipment for CO2 injection and process in the second quarter, affecting the availability of Cidade Angra do Reis, but Philippe will mention this later on. At the strategy execution level, it is also important to mention the conclusion of our refining upgrade project, which was an important milestone for us. The ramp-up period ran smoothly and in maximum safety conditions, which was our first priority on this commission process, which allowed us to reach an utilization rate of around 19% after 3 months of operation. We are presently running the new units above 100% load factor. Consequently, the new units, after this transient period with the frequent shutdowns that were defined by the startup process, these units, I was saying, including the hydrocracker, are expected to give their contribution to the results in the second quarter. Still regarding the downstream and the gas business, I must say that we will continue to focus on cost control and operations and the efficiency of our operations in Iberia. We know the exogenous world around us that we must deal with. Additionally, we can expect that our LNG trading activity will remain strong and to continue to contribute resiliently to earnings in the medium term. So we are now in a place where we can focus only mostly on our upstream progress, while the downstream and the gas business increase their contribution to the cash flow. I would like to conclude by telling you why we are confident in our near-term future, particularly on this second quarter. On the downstream and gas business, we have for the first time the full contribution of the refining rate and will continue to count on a strong LNG trading results. On that stream, we will be doubling the installed production capacity in Lula with a second FPSO arriving soon or starting operations very soon by the end of May, as already shared with you, and contributing to relevant production throughout the region. We are assessing one of the largest potential upsides in resources in Brazil with the new EOR techniques with water and gas injection, including CO2, potentially contributing to an increase in the oil recovery factor if this long-term test is successful as we expect. And finally, on the exploration side, we will have shortly the results of 3 high-risk wells in the coming months, namely in Namibia, in Cote d'Ivoire and Mozambique. But now is the turn of Philippe to continue summarizing our results. Thank you for your attention, and I'll come back to answer your questions and answers. Thank you.
Thank you, Manuel, and good morning to you all. Moving on to our balance sheet on slide 15, at the end of the quarter, net debt stood at 1.9 billion euros. That's up 189 million since year-end. This is due to some extent to a slippage in client receivables as this year Easter fell at the very end of the quarter, impacting collections between the 28th and the 31st of March. Considering a loan to Sinopec of about 960 million euros as cash and equivalents, our net debt was actually 926 million euros or 0.9 times the last 12 months EBITDA. CapEx amounted to 189 million euros in the quarter. From these, the E&P business accounted for over 80%, and it was mainly driven by the development activities in the Lula fields, namely the drilling of development wells in anticipation of the upcoming FPSOs. On the funding side, we secured about 1.3 billion euros so far this year, with maturities of 4 to 5 years, thus continuing to extend the average life of our debt. We will be slowing down the pace of debt issuance going forward, given our high cash balances, but we will gradually be addressing our 2014 redemption profile through longer dated instruments. Looking at the P&L statement on slide 14, EBITDA reached 253 million euros, or 24% above the previous year's figure, with a higher contribution from all business segments, but mainly from the refining and marketing and the gas and power businesses. E&P EBITDA grew 4%, with a lower production in Angola compensated by higher production in Brazil, where FPSO Cidade Angra dos Reis operated close to full capacity throughout the quarter. Net entitlement production reached 20,000 barrels of oil equivalent per day, 60% of which from Brazil, which had about a 20% gas mix. Refining and marketing EBITDA increased by 27 million euros on the back of the improved refining environment, or rather a less negative one. It is important to note that during Q1, we were stabilizing the hydrocracker. The refining system did not operate in an optimal way, with energy consumptions and losses at around 10% over the period. So probably no contribution at all to the EBITDA line. On the marketing side, we continued to be impacted by the lower demand in Iberia, which is impacting the economics of this business. In fact, the refining margin improvement was mostly eroded by the weaker performance in marketing. Gas and power trading activity continued to be healthy as prices of natural gas in the international markets were higher and as we increased the number of cargoes sold to Asia and Latin America. EBITDA of gas and power reached 102 million euros, 19 million above the previous year. Of note, the cogeneration plant in Porto is now up and running since early March. Group EBIT reached 148 million euros as non-cash costs stayed at 105 million euros in line with the year before. At this EBIT level, we highlight that the hydrocracker only stabilized at its high utilization rate during the last couple of weeks of March. As such, we will only start depreciating the new units from the second quarter onwards, with a quarterly impact of around 21 million euros. That's about 1.2 billion euros investment amortized over 15 years. Same rule applies for interest costs related to the upgrade project, which will only start to flow through the P&L this second quarter at the rate of around 15 million euros per quarter. That's about 1.2 billion euro investments with a 5% interest rate. Below the EBIT line, financial results improve versus the previous year as the average net debt in the quarter was lower. All in all, net profit reached 75 million euros in the quarter. Now to conclude with the presentation, I'll go briefly through the main drivers that we expect will impact our performance during this second quarter of the year. Working interest production should be around 22,000 barrels of oil equivalent per day, as the second FPSO production will only contribute in the last month of the quarter, and as FPSO Cidade Angra dos Reis will be subject to maintenance works on the equipment related with the processing and injection of CO2. Looking at the refining business, this will benefit from the steady contribution of the hydrocracker. We anticipate a full contribution from the upgrade this quarter, but of course the additional margin will depend on market conditions. Regarding the oil marketing business, we expect demand will continue to be impacted by the macro situation in Portugal and in Spain as these economies continue to readjust. On the natural gas business, volumes will continue to benefit from a healthy LNG trading activity, as we have already secured some cargoes to be delivered during the second quarter. And so I conclude our presentation for the day. We are now available for Q&A. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. If any participant would like to ask a question, please press the star followed by the one on your telephone. If you wish to cancel this request, please press the star followed by the two. Please be advised there is a limit of two questions per person. Your questions will be polled in the order they are received, and there will be a short pause whilst participants register for a question. The first question comes from Thomas Adolf from Credit Suisse. Please proceed with your question.
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my questions. One question on Brazil and the other one on refining. On the WACC with CO2 floods, since the consortium members tend to have a different view, I was wondering if you could say how long you expect this test to last before you have enough data to give us an update. I also understand that Petrobras recently mentioned a 3 to 4 percentage point potential improvement in the recovery factor, which is at the lower end of the 3 to 17 percent point range that BG indicated to previously. I wanted to know where your expectations are. And secondly, on refining, you've mentioned consumption losses stood at 10% during the quarter. I was wondering whether you expect this to go back to 8% going forward, and also whether there are any other maintenance, planned maintenance for the rest of the year. Thank you.
Good morning, first of all, and thank you for your two questions. Let me start with the first one, with the WAG project. This is a major technological achievement, if well successful. No? Is the alternative injection of water and gas, namely CO2, in ultra-deep offshore. It's the first done in the world. No? Let us take note of that. The project is programmed to last between 6 and to last in the sense of as a pilot project between 6 and 12 months. But the definitive timing will be the one that is needed to assess the effect of this new technology. I note that José Formigli stated that he would expect something between 3 and 4%. He's a good friend of mine. He's very conservative. And I think it's safe to be conservative at this stage. Look, in the laboratory, in analytical and analogical models, we have much higher numbers, but we should take one step at a time in terms of technological development. The second question going to refining. Philippe referred that we have had a 10% losses. But I want you to know that consumption in the Sines refinery, that is simply due to the fact that we had stop and go, low load factors in the first day. So this is why we do the contribution, the overall contribution, when you put incremental production versus incremental costs associated with the startup of the hydrocracker is effectively zero in the first queue. So now it's running. Effectively, it was yesterday the last time I saw it, at 104% load factor. Our operating team is now relaxed. We considered it as a very successful commissioning of that complex project. It will go back to a maximum of 8% consumption in the refinery system, in terms of energy consumption. And thank you, Tom, for giving us the opportunity to answer to these questions.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from Oswald Clint from Sanford Bernstein. Please proceed with your question.
Yes, thank you very much. I noticed your comments with the release this morning about your increased confidence on the Lula development, both on time and cost. I just want to get, so it sounds like you are getting more optimistic, and I just want to know, is that just due to the FPSO delivery and ordering of those and the well results, or is there anything else there in terms of Petrobras's movement or the government movement in Brazil in terms of making you more comfortable and more confident here? And the second question, again, back on the downstream, just specifically the Iberian market and how weak that is. Is there anything you're seeing here as you go through the rest of 2013? Do you expect it to keep dropping at this 9-10% level each quarter in terms of consumption? And obviously I'm thinking about risk to overall utilization levels in the refinery. And also, is the export market still open to you? Are you still able to place gasoline over in inside the U.S. market? So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for the question, Oswald. The increase of confidence in Brazil, that results from the actions taken on the ground. You know? We have today the consortium in FPS in Block 11 will have, as already, 12 FPSOs contracted, the first six of which, two already delivered, another four to be delivered up to 2016. The last one in the first in 2016. So with that, we accommodate any potential delay on the remaining units. We have another six that have been to be built in Brazil, and this, together with all the infrastructure already contracted, from wellheads to all the critical equipment contracted, including the rigs necessary for drilling the wells, so we feel relaxed. But that does not mean that we will not continue focusing on it and basically promoting, remediating measures if we anticipate any delay on the project. But this is not our strategy. This is the strategy of the consortium. We are totally satisfied with it, and we obviously pay our role on it. As far as the refining, we see the refining supplies fundamentally the Iberian market. Net in Portugal and Spain, our sales of diesel can allocate the production of the new hydrocracker. So the export facilities will be maintained, because these are commodities, they will find always a market, provided because we sell always at international prices. The when the market is reduced in Iberia, and instead of placing in our natural market, we have to export, we lose the value, the differential between CIF, Northwest Europe quotations, and FOB. Because when we sell FOB. When we sell internally, we sell ex-refinery at CIF cost prices. And that's, I think, the answer to your question. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from Haitham Rashid from Morgan Stanley. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, and thank you for taking my questions. Two questions, please, if I may. Firstly, just on the upstream, and as we fast approach first oil from Lula Northeast, and you, as you mentioned, signal confidence has increased around production there. I wondered if you could just provide us with some further guidance on production, and specifically, really, what we should be expecting for production in both 3Q and 4Q of this year. relative to the levels that you've obviously guided for in 2Q. Related to that as well, looking further ahead in Brazil, the next FPSO in the pipeline being Iracema South, I wondered if you could provide us with a quick update on the progress there, whether you're still confident in a 4Q14 startup or any more sort of specific timing there would be helpful. The second question I had was just around Mozambique and whether you could provide an update there on how things are progressing around gas sales agreements, project financing, all the sort of steps that need to be in place ahead of FID and whether there's any sort of key outstanding issues that still need to be sort of finalized. That would be great. Thank you.
Thank you, Hayden, for your questions. Going to straight to the Lula Nordeste project, what I would say that is that what I've said in my initial presentation, that we'll close the year with a production of 75,000 barrels a day, ramping up. In our stake of the project, we'll go from the initial second fuel 0.7 thousand barrels a day to 6.3 in the last quarter. Let's average production. But I would say that we should look at these numbers with prudency. I think it's a startup, it's a complex project. Our formal statement is an exit production of 75,000 barrels a day by the end of the year. This is the number that we all agreed in the consortium that is achievable, and it is our target. As from our side, we'll be increasing the net entitlement production in the group by 20% on average this year.
Thank you.
Next year we'll have the startup of the Cidade Mangaratiba in the fourth queue, as already informed in the past. Mozambique, obviously, the consortium has already put together a commercial strategy. The initial steps are being taken. But I would not want to, I'm not in a position to advance more information other than this. So that it is a priority, as you clearly are aware, and the work is ongoing. The issue now is waiting for the petroleum law in Mozambique that is expected to be published in the third Q, early third Q, so that we can clarify all the uncertainties about the legal framework of the LNG facilities. Everything is being negotiated in a cooperative form. And what I say is that we, the consortium, and the government of Mozambique has aligned interests, because it is as important for us as it is for the government of Mozambique not to delay the startup of the project. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from Mehdi Enadati from Societe Generale. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, good afternoon all. So two questions. The first one regarding your average realized sales price in the upstream. The discount to Brent has been unusual at $20 per barrel. You talked about the annulment of underlifting positions. Could you be, please, more explicit about this mechanism. And the second question is regarding Lula West 2 drilling results. So the drilling has been concluded. And I remember you've said during a Q4 conference call that it was not considered yet in the resources of Lula field. And then, if there is a discovery, it will lead to an increase in resources. So do you confirm this? And when can we expect the announcement of drilling results from Lula West 2? Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for your questions. Now, the first question, I noticed that you are looking at page number of the presentation is page number 20, where you see that realized sales price of our production was $90 a barrel. Let me tell you why is that. One, there was under invoicing in the first queue, that will be corrected in the second queue. Which was effectively due to some accounting principles, practices that will be correcting. And that is related with the complex lifting processes that we have related to the operation of the consortium. So it is that number, 90.3, unfortunately, we have to report it, is an accounting number. The effective sales price was 103.75. So that number, had we not had that correction to make, would have been 103.7.
Okay, thank you.
So as far as the Lula West, the consortium already allocated an FPSO to that part of the Lula field, and it will be operational hopefully as programmed in 2017. Thank you.
Okay, but does that mean, because you've said that if the drilling results are positive, there will be an increase in resources. So given that Petrobras allocated an FPSO in 2017 for Lula West 2, can we say that it might increase the Lula resources in the let's say in the months to come or next year?
There is sufficient volumes in the location to justify an FPSO. That was the conclusion of the results of the test of Lula West.
Okay, thank you.
That's okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from Felipe Roysa from Espirito Santo Equity Research. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, good morning, everyone. So firstly, on Mozambique, we already have a deal from Eni. You said in the past that depending on the terms, you could be a buyer, seller, or holder. I would like to know whether you could update us on that, since we already have a benchmark for the asset. My second question, it's a follow-up question on Lula West too. I believe that one of the conclusions that you wanted to draw from this well was whether there was a continuity between the Lula and Sernambi reservoirs, since apparently there has been a discovery. Is this confirmed that this is just one reservoir, or it has nothing to do and you have not defined that yet? Thank you very much.
So thank you, Philip, and good morning to you. The transaction that occurred in Area 4 was done fundamentally on the same terms as the co-transaction in Area 1. So for us, it was not a surprise. So it's no surprise for us whatsoever. We are happy with our position, and we keep financing our development there as planned.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the Lula Sernambi connectivity, as you know, is an issue that is being debated with ANP. The opposition of the consortium is that there is connectivity. The position of the ANP is there is no connectivity. So what we are putting, this well is giving contribution to this debate. Let's wait for the outcome of it. But this is major step for that one, for that debate. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from Jason Kenny from Santander. Please proceed with your question.
Hi there. A question on the downstream. I noticed you mentioned that obviously you can't give us the refining margin for the second quarter because it's going to depend on changing conditions. But if we saw the same conditions as in the first quarter, what would the margin enhancement be in the second quarter by having all of your assets up and running? And then secondly, just to maybe follow up on an earlier point when you mentioned the under-invoicing upstream and the lower realization price for oil. You said there's going to be a correction in the second quarter. Does that mean we see a correction in earnings associated with that as well, or is it just an accounting thing on the actual realization number?
Can Philippe take the second question, and I'll come back to you.
Okay.
Low realization price, I mean, the barrel, this is a denominator you see on that slide 20. So all the barrels are there. Some of the invoicing of the very last few days of March actually fell into April. So you will not see the earnings. It's for the purposes of the ratio only. That's, you know, the denominator is inflated relative to the nominator. Also draw your attention, we had a bit more gas, so about 20%. This is all Brazil related. And we do sell our oil in Brazil at a discount to Brent of, you know, somewhere between $4 and $5. So, but to your question, no, expect no enhanced earnings in Q2 because of this.
Okay.
So the first part of your question is related The first comment I want to make is correct answer that I gave to Philippe. You know, is the connectivity. I mixed the conditions. So the position of the consortium is assuming that the reservoirs are separated. The position of ANP is the reservoirs are the same one, are integrated. So I mixed the reference. I apologize for that. The second part of your question has to do with the hydrocracker. We expect, with present margins, that we have an increase of versus a cracking complex of $2 to $2.5 a barrel. We will be producing operating hydrocracker at 100% load factor on average, you know, according to the present margins.
So just to confirm, if we had the same margins as we had in the first quarter, we should see a $2.50 per barrel increase Q on Q.
That's correct. That's correct. Perfect. For the total processing crude. Thank you.
Perfect. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question comes from Brendan Warne from Jefferies. Please proceed with your question.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Actually, it's probably on the same thread as the last question and what Thomas and Oswald asked earlier. Just in terms of refining, and if we're looking at sort of second quarter onwards as steady state or normalised, just whether you can either reaffirm or just re-guide on, call it the product slate, and even if it's just gasoline, diesel, and also crude slate, and indication of cash costs if call it refining margins are out of your control.
Thank you for your question, Brandon. The yield naturally depends on the crude oil being processed, you know, but we expect about 50% of the output being crude oil, being diesel in our crudes, in our product slate. The hydrocracker is operating slightly above 99% of conversion from vacuum gas oil into middle distillates and naphthas. The cash costs of the refining to the total refinery will not change very much versus the existing operation, because per barrel we increase the load factor of the two refineries, which contribute to reducing the unit costs. We'll expect a $2.4 to $2.5 per barrel of the cash costs. Thank you.
Thanks for that. Cheers.
Thank you. The next question comes from Nitin Sharma from JP Morgan. Please proceed with your question.
Afternoon, gentlemen. Just one question. It relates to possible sale of Eni of its remaining stake in Galp. So my question is there a ongoing discussion between Galp's management team with Eni so that such sale, if and when it happens, is done in a structured manner so that it has minimal impact on Galp's share price? Thank you.
Discussions going on. We have offered our availability to Eni to do that. Eni is considering that, I expect. No? So there's nothing else I can say about that, Niti. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question comes from Lydia Rainforth from Barclays. Please proceed with your question.
Thank you. And if I could just ask around the cash flow numbers, and there was quite a big build in working capital for the quarter, how much of that would you expect to reverse in the coming quarters and just how quickly that can come through? And then secondly, if I can just go back to these per barrel numbers, I understand the sales realization being lower on a per barrel basis. Does that also apply to the cost per barrel that you present, or is that just completely separate from the calculations? Thank you.
Those questions.
Thank you, Lydia. If we look at our treasury position on the very first days of April, I can confirm that most of this has been reversed. We take, in this Catholic country, we take Easter very seriously, so we had Thursday and Friday was 28, 29. So actually 4 days of no invoicing, and we invoice about 50 million per day. So this is the reason, and it has been reversed. On the realized price, no, again, this number, low realization number, is a mechanic number you see only on slide 20. Everything else is independent.
Okay. Understood. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question comes from Michael Alsford from Citi. Please proceed with your question.
Yeah, good afternoon. I've just got a quick question just on the Brazilian BM-S-24 drilling plans. Could you maybe just give a bit more color as to what you're targeting at Bracuí in terms of volumes and whether you're expecting a similar sort of hydrocarbon mix to what you saw at Jupiter? That would be helpful. Thank you.
Thank you for the question. It is the Bracuí prospect is a pit size satellite of the Jupiter field. So is something that enhances the value of the block, but will not drastically transform the development plan for the. The important issue on it is whether the CO2 is there or not with the same concentration level, because if it is not, it would be the fantastic project to start up CO2 injection in large scale in ultra deep offshore, because it's so close to the Jupiter field. That's the strategic value of this satellite prospect. Thank you.
That makes sense. Thanks, Manuel. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from Matt Lofting from Nomura. Please proceed with your question.
Thanks. Two questions, please. Firstly, on the exploration side, in terms of the two wells currently drilling at the moment in the Potiguar Basin and Wincat in Namibia, clearly sort of potentially high reward but also high risk wells. Could you remind us of where you see the probability of success on those two, please? And then secondly, just on the income statement around net financials, I know you start sort of expensing the previously capitalized interest on the Sines upgrade from Q2 onwards, 15 million per quarter. Given the sort of the fluctuation in the net financials line in recent quarters, could you give us a sense of where you see sort of the clean underlying starting point in on that net financials line, sort of X, FX, FX, et cetera, before you then layer that 15 on top? Thanks.
Matt, good morning. I will pass the second part of the question to Philippe, I'll take the first one. The two wells being drilled in Namibia and Côte d'Ivoire have been qualified by the consortiums as tight holes, which means that strict closed information. So I cannot share with you because of this commitment information, because of this commitment with operators. What I want to know you to note is the three wells that are to be drilled sequentially in Namibia are geologically independent. The three wells to be drilled in Côte d'Ivoire, they have some dependency, although one, the success or unsuccess on one well does not fully determine the drilling or otherwise in the two wells. Additionally, in Côte d'Ivoire, these are also contractual obligations, which is not the same in Namibia. In Namibia, the prospects are independent. They will be independently drilled of each other. In Côte d'Ivoire is what I said. They are obligatory, they are, and they are partially independent. Thank you. Now, Philippe.
No, on interest costs, so yes, you should expect about the existing 40 million plus 15, so say 55 interest ex FX moves, etc. on the P&L, so 55 per quarter.
Okay, very clear. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. The next question comes from Anish Kapadia from TPH. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, good afternoon. I've got a couple of questions. First one on the LNG business. I was wondering if you could give some indication of what the contribution was from the LNG trading business to the gas and power division this quarter and what the sustainability is of that of those earnings over the coming quarters and maybe years. And the second question was on the upstream. If we're looking at Angola, Block 32, sounds like that there's some question marks over the economics of Angola Block 32 going ahead. Just wondering if you could outline some of the issues over there and your views on the project. Thank you.
Thank you, Anish, for your questions. It took us some time to digest your questions. I apologize for that. The LNG business is extremely simple to explain. We, with agreements with our supplier, the Nigerian LNG company, we share the benefits or arbitration between the Atlantic Basin and the Pacific Basin. So, and in a manner that is transparent. So because we have a CIF contract, so in order to divest the cargoes, we need to have the agreement of the supplier. What we have done is with agreement of our supplier, and after a competitive tender that we realized last year, we have secured the stability of our operations for 3 years by actually doing agreements with other players in the market. So we feel that the contribution of the LNG trading activity will be with us for at least the forthcoming 3 years. Now to Block 32. The decision to acquire, the final decision to lease the forthcoming FPSO has not been taken yet. And we are in the project following the normal program. We expect Block 32, to be producing by 2015, 2016 is the present development chronogram for this area.
Thank you. The final question comes from Bruno Silva from BPI. Please proceed with your question.
Good morning, everyone. I just have two questions left. You have previously mentioned the possibility of starting a share buyback plan, but can we assume that with the expected placement by Eni in the near term, GALP will not start with the program until the placement is done? How should we think about this issue timing-wise? And secondly, very quickly on Namibia, what kind of quantitative information could be released by June? Thank you very much.
Thank you for the last question of this session. We never said that we had a share buyback plan in place. What we said is that we requested the General Assembly to authorize the board, if necessary, to act. And that has not been yet discussed in the board. So we've got the authorization of the General Assembly to act if considered necessary and good for everybody, no? No discussion has been taken so far. As far as Namibia, Etol, we cannot, by title is a code name saying that we are restricted in sharing information on it. What by the end of the quarter we'll have full disclosure of the results. So if it is a dry well, we will say that is a dry well. If it is a successful well, we will indicate the size of the reservoir identified associated with this discovery. Okay. And that's it, Bruno. And
thank you.
According to what I've been told, these are the last questions that have been asked to us. And on behalf of my colleagues in the table, Tiago and Philippe, and I would like to thank you for the time you dedicated to us. And see you a quarter from now. Thank you very much indeed, and good morning.
Thank you. This concludes Galp Energia's first quarter 2013 results conference call. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.